Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Read Poetry Like a Professor by Thomas C. Foster is a nonfiction guide to reading verse with more confidence, precision, and pleasure. Written by an English professor known for making literary study accessible to general readers. The book belongs to the tradition of practical literary criticism rather than academic theory for specialists. Its central purpose is to reduce the fear many readers feel when facing poetry, and to show that poems become more rewarding once readers notice how language, sound, form, and implication work together. Foster draws on a broad range of examples from well-known poets across different periods, using a conversational style that aims to be inviting rather than intimidating. Instead of treating poetry as a code that only experts can crack, he presents it as a crafted use of language that can be approached through habits of attention. The result is a teaching book that combines enthusiasm, explanation, an interpretive method for readers who want to move beyond surface response and begin reading poems with greater awareness. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, removing the intimidation that surrounds poetry. One of the book's most important achievements is its effort to dismantle the common belief that poetry is designed to exclude ordinary readers. Foster starts from the reality that many people approach poems with anxiety, expecting obscurity, hidden meanings, or technical traps. Rather than mocking that reaction, he treats it as understandable, and then works to replace fear with curiosity. This is central to the book's identity as a primer. Foster argues that difficulty is not the same as hostility, and that poems often seem inaccessible because readers have not yet been shown what to listen for or where to place their attention. His approach is pedagogical in the best sense. He reassures readers that uncertainty is part of reading poetry, not proof of failure. That shift matters because it changes the task from solving a puzzle to learning a mode of attention. By making poetry feel discussable and human, he opens the door for readers who may have been alienated by school experiences or by overly solemn cultural attitudes toward verse. The book therefore succeeds first as an invitation. Before it teaches meter, symbolism, or voice, it teaches permission to engage, hesitate, reread, and enjoy. Secondly, listening to sound as a source of meaning, Foster emphasizes that poetry is not only something to decode visually on a page, but something to hear. A major theme in the book is that sound patterns shape meaning just as strongly as paraphrasable ideas do. This includes rhythm, meter, rhyme, alliteration, repetition, stress, and the movement created by line breaks. By focusing on the sonic life of a poem, Foster helps readers understand why poetry cannot be reduced to a prose summary without losing much of its force. He shows that sound affects tone, pace, emotional pressure, and memorability. Even when readers do not yet know the technical names for metrical patterns, they can begin by noticing how a poem feels in the mouth and ear. This attention to sound also supports one of his practical recommendations: reading poems aloud, especially on a first encounter. Doing so makes the reader more sensitive to pattern and disruption, which often reveal where the poem wants emphasis. Foster treats technical analysis not as a dry exercise, but as a way of asking why a poem produces a particular response. In this sense, meter and rhythm are not separate from meaning. They are part of the poem's thinking, part of how language performs emotion and idea. Thirdly, using form and structure to understand a poem, another key topic is Foster's explanation of poetic form as an aid to interpretation rather than an obstacle. He addresses features such as lineation, stanza shape, regularity, variation, and traditional forms, encouraging readers to see structure as purposeful. A sonnet, for example, is not simply a historical container but a way of organizing pressure, thought, and turn. More broadly, the arrangement of lines and pauses influences how a poem unfolds in time. Foster helps readers notice that poems make meaning not only through what they say, but through the order in which they say it and the limits they place on expression. This approach is especially helpful for readers who have been taught to look only for theme while ignoring craft. Foster argues that when poets choose strictness, looseness, symmetry, or disruption, those choices affect interpretation. The shape of a poem can suggest control, tension, spontaneity, argument, or instability. His discussion of scansion and formal pattern also places poetry within a broader literary history, showing that forms emerge from traditions but remain flexible tools in the hands of individual writers. By framing form as expressive rather than merely decorative, the book teaches readers to ask better questions about how poems are built and why that building matters. Fourthly, reading beyond surface meaning through symbolism and allusion. Foster is especially interested in helping readers recognize that poems often operate on more than one level at once. Alongside the primary sense of the words, there may be symbolic resonance, cultural reference, tonal complication, or an echo of older literary traditions. his treatment of symbolism and allusion gives readers a way to move from literal paraphrase toward richer interpretation without encouraging wild overreading. The point is not that every object must become a grand symbol, but that poems frequently rely on associations that extend beyond the immediate statement. A bird, a season, a journey, or a repeated image may gather significance through tradition, context, and placement within the poem. Foster's broader literary background is evident here, since he encourages readers to notice how poems converse with previous texts and shared cultural patterns. This is one reason his guidance can be useful for students and teachers alike. It models interpretive habits that connect detail to larger frameworks. At the same time, the book warns against flattening a poem into a single decoded message. Symbolic reading works best when it remains responsive to language, tone, and context. Foster presents interpretation as layered attention, where meaning deepens through recognition of patterns rather than through extraction of a hidden answer. Lastly, focusing on the poetic speaker rather than the biographical author. A valuable interpretive principle in the book is Foster's emphasis on distinguishing the poem's speaking voice from the actual historical author. Drawing on the idea often associated with the implied author or constructed speaker, he encourages readers not to assume that every poem is a transparent confession. This matters because many readers, especially with lyric poetry, instinctively collapse poet and speaker into one figure. Foster shows that poems are made artifacts, shaped by selection, tone, stance, and rhetorical design. The voice on the page may resemble the author in some respects, but it is still part of the poem's construction. Recognizing this helps readers attend to irony, performance, distance, and perspective. It also discourages simplistic interpretation based on biography alone. Instead of asking only what the author really felt, readers are asked to consider what the poem is doing through its chosen voice. This approach fits the book's broader goal of professionalizing attention without becoming inaccessible. It gives readers a more reliable method for handling poems that are dramatic, playful, indirect, or self-consciously stylized. By learning to read the speaker as a crafted presence, readers become better equipped to evaluate tone and meaning. The result is a more careful and more literarily grounded encounter with poetry. In conclusion, How to Read Poetry, Like a Professor is best suited to readers who want practical help entering poetry without being patronized or buried in theory. Students who have found poems frustrating, general readers returning to poetry after many years, and teachers looking for an approachable companion text are all likely to benefit. The book offers intellectual value because it trains attention to language, sound, structure, and voice. But it also offers a more immediate practical reward. It makes reading poetry feel possible. Foster does not promise that every poem will become easy, and that restraint is part of the book's credibility. Instead, he gives readers tools for rereading with greater patience and sharper perception. What makes the book stand out in its category is its combination of classroom clarity and genuine enthusiasm. Many introductions to poetry lean either too technical or too vague. Foster works in the middle ground, using literary terms when useful but keeping the main focus on experience and method. That balance helps explain why the book appeals beyond academic audiences. It is not merely a handbook of devices, nor only a celebration of poems. It is a guided practice in noticing how poetry works, why it can feel difficult, and why that difficulty often leads to deeper pleasure and insight. If you would like to support Thomas C. Foster, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.